Yes, you're wrong. The podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, we are here to discuss what may be the worst movie of the year, Trap.
No, I don't think so. I think I've seen some real duds.
What do you feel like is worse than this that we've seen so far?
That we've seen. Okay, let me see my list. I guess I'm just seeing. Okay. We're seeing Trapped. We're talking about Trap. Movies I've seen that are worse than this.
Exactly.
The Garfield movie is worse than this.
The Garfield.
And
was that a penny choice that you ended up seeing that, or yes. Are you a big fan of Garfield?
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe,
we're really digging around.
Scoop? Did you see Scoop?
I feel like anyone but you honestly could be worse than this.
Yeah, anyone but you was less fun. If only because I was engaged by this movie, and the engagement was, what on earth? How does that make sense? But it was still engagement. You know what I mean?
I wasn't
looking at my phone during this movie, but anything but you, I was tuned out. Okay. I was not. I'm not following along. But
you
this
weren't
one,
following
I was
along the
for...
Shakespeare plot lines in anyone but you.
No. This one, I was keyed in for every time they do a close up of a POV shot of someone looking at you with the creepiest little sinister grin, or the saddest little puppy dog eyes. In the weirdest little speeches no one asked for.
It
was a good time.
Everything about
this
movie.
At this point, how many
so
M. Night
weird.
Shyamalan movies have we done?
Well, we did Knock at the Cabin, which I hated. That was worse than this. We did
that
Old.
That was worse than this. Yes. And
we did Glass.
Glass.
Did we do...
I think that must have been it.
Yeah, because I don't think we did... Split. I feel like that came out before.
No, yeah.
And we didn't do the Christmas one. I can't remember when that came out.
The old people at the farmhouse.
The visit. The visit.
Good old M. Night Shyamalan, you know?
Oh my God.
I admire him. The more he just insists on doing what he wants to do, I have to give him props. You know, it's like, hey, let your freak fly. Why? Like, self-finance these bad movies. It's working, you know?
I can't even, like, I don't even know where to begin to discuss this because there's so many weird things going on here. Okay, I guess I'll say this first. So I knew this movie was coming out, obviously. And I was like, oh, this will be a fun movie to review. So let me email the reps and ask them like when they're doing press screenings and stuff so I can write a review for this. I email them, they say we're not doing any press screenings. And I said, what? I'm like, in all of the time I've worked as an entertainment journalist, I've never been told we're not doing press screenings. Like, sometimes if it's a really small indie movie, they'll be like, oh, we're sending out screening links or, you know.
Right.
Or sometimes they'll be like, oh, sorry, like, we're only doing a couple and they're really strict. You know, like, I don't know. They have something.
Right.
I've never been told we're not doing them. So I texted other people and I was like, this can't be right. Like, they must be, you know, lying or whatever. So I'm emailing people. Everyone's like, yeah, no one's heard of a press screening. No one's gotten invited to a press screening. I look on Twitter, people are saying that they've also been told there's no press screenings. There was literally no press screenings before this movie came out. Like, there was a couple premieres that I guess some press people did attend, but there was no like reviews screenings for this. So people who were reviewing this had to buy tickets to the Thursday night show and go then.
It's not a strategy, babe.
Which I've never heard of before. And I was like, is the movie
outsmarted y'all.
So bad that he like doesn't want early reviews for it. My thought, having now seen it, is that because his daughter has such a prominent role in this movie, that perhaps he wanted to avoid early reviews that might have said unkind things about her and her performance and her spot in the movie. But just everything Wait, about
did
this
you
is
know she
bizarre.
Was his daughter? Because I didn't know that until after the movie.
No, I knew that, like, going in.
Okay, who is this chick?
No, I knew that.
Because he also had a daughter who did a movie, like she
did
the Dakota
directed
Fanning
a movie,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
But that's a different daughter. Yeah. Because this is. Cute. I'm like, let me look up these people's names, I guess.
Her name is.
Yeah, Ishana is the one who directed The Watchers, and this is Salika.
Salika, yeah. Yeah. You know what, though? I have to say, I don't mind this as a Nepo baby moment because it feels honest. They aren't trying to get something over on us. It's not like a secret funding of someone who's like trying to hide that they're a Nepo baby, you know? It's very clearly a Nepo move. And I respect the audacity, you know? Like, I'm like, you know what? I like when a Nepo baby owns it, and you can't own it any more than starring in your father's film, you know?
I am looking.
Having a film built around you, really.
Having a film built around you. Well, I'm looking now at the her Wikipedia page, Salika, and I'm like, this is really just like giving all levels of Nepo baby, because she has one album that's out called Seance that came out in 2023, but I guess she had various singles before that. But her previous work is she had a song that was in Servant, the TV show that he worked on. Then she also had a song that was on the old soundtrack. And then if you look at her music videos, four of them are directed by her sister, and one of them is directed by her dad. So I'm like, it's really, we got a family affair going on in this pop star thing. And apparently she is now going just by Salika. She's not Salika Shyamalan.
Yeah, because in the opening credits, I do not think it said Salika Shyamalan, because I would have clocked that. It just said original music by Salika. I swear. Or yeah. I just like zoned out. But yeah, I'm like fine with it, because I hate when rich parents are like, I want my kid to work for it and I'm not going to help them at all. And they have to do everything by themselves. And I'm like, no, they don't. Like, chill the fuck out. Like, you know, it's like, it's fine, one, to help your kid, but also just to be honest about it and realize that it's your kid. And of course, you're going to go above and beyond to like help their budding little music career take off. But so, and I'm okay with it.
Basically, Trap is what Rebecca Black got just as a feature instead of a music video.
Yeah, yeah. It's a concert film for a concert she has yet to put on at a venue she has yet to fill.
I mean,
and
I admire it. It feels like the whole thing was built around like wanting to showcase her. Like, yes. The movie sort of doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense in a lot of ways, but you can tell that he was like, okay, I need to write, you know, something that's going to showcase my daughter as a pop star and also be like some sort of twisty thriller. And he came up with this idea of, what if there is a serial killer at a pop star concert, which is the
not only
plot
that, not only that, it's what if the city of Philadelphia used every available police, SWAT, and FBI agent to patrol a concert of what, 30,000 people? What's the venue here? It was like it had to be a stadium, right? It wasn't an arena. It was an arena.
It was looking small. It was looking small.
It's like the Madison
it's
Square.
It's definitely like where the Philadelphia people like play hockey or something. Like,
yeah.
I guess I don't know what the arena was, but it was not giving big. Yeah. And also, it felt like a lot of it was maybe filmed at a soundstage.
Yeah, yeah. which is fine. I mean, it wasn't distracting. It seemed like they filled the floor and then digitized everyone in the background. And I'm happy for them. I was fascinated by the film, though, because...
Okay, here, I have the information for us.
Okay, perfect.
The film's pop star concert venue, known as Tanaka Arena, was filmed in Hamilton, Ontario, inside First Ontario Center, a 20,000-seat arena that the production obtained access to for 2 or 3 months because it was undergoing renovation. Toronto's Rogers Theater, which Rogers Center, stood in for the exterior shots.
So 20,000, you know, that makes sense. But it was still a huge waste of citywide resources, I felt like, because they had to have everyone at every single door, on the roof, every exit point. And their strategy was, we found a ticket to this concert in this serial killer's lair. Ergo, he must be at this concert. Ergo, he must have a child of this age. Ergo, he must be, you know, here, and we can interview every single white man who fits the profile, and there will not be a single fuss made whatsoever. Everyone will be happy to find out that their children were part of a trap to catch a notorious bloodthirsty serial killer.
This had lawsuit written all over it.
It's just like, I was like, okay. Because I knew that was the setup, but there's something about watching it play out in real time and like have the FBI agent like explain it over the intercom over and over. And it was just like, they got, you know, 200 staff members to be in on this. And of course that fell apart very quickly. And then you have every single parent being pulled aside to literally be questioned by the FBI with supposedly no representation in sight. And I was just like, and then they were bad at their job still. Like, I was like, this is a testament to the ineptitude of the police force. And for that, I applaud M. Night Shyamalan. Really, I do.
The problem was, I mean, there's so many problems. Like, where do you even begin? Like, the legality of this obviously makes no sense. But also just the plan they had made no sense.
Yes.
Like, it's one thing if it's, okay, we think he's going to this event, so we're going to, like, send in some undercover people, like, like poke around, or we're gonna like get everybody in the venue and then like immediately shut it down and do like some sort of organized interview process, or we're going to, you know, slowly vet people as they leave. But no, it was like, we're gonna have everybody there, but then we're gonna let the concert go on as planned and just sort of pull people, like random people from the stadium. And then even once the concert sort of ends, we're going to let people trickle out and only kind of like half-heartedly be searching people. Like it was very confusing, especially given the number of people and the fact that they had to debrief for some reason all of the venue workers. You have to think, if the guy the fact that he showed up and somehow hadn't been tipped off already is shocking, because like if I was a serial killer and I noticed 9 million police officers, there's no way I'd be going. And also, it seems like somebody online would have commented this plan, given the number of lay people who knew about it
and the number of cops who knew about it. It was like every single person in the city was like, we're going to get this guy. And it's like, you know, someone is telling someone who's telling someone. And it's like, fine, whatever. He's in the venue, sure. But then it becomes this like, he has to play dumb in front of his dear daughter, but also try to outsmart the people who are trying to trap him. But it's all just dumb luck. Like, it's literally, that was what was so frustrating, is it seemed like it was trying to play us as like, he's the smart little fox and we're all just stumbling around and he's always outsmarting us. He's always 17 steps ahead. But it's like, he just gets lucky. Like, he gets lucky when he sees, when the guy giving out shirts is like willing to just bear it all to anyone who's a little polite, and he gets lucky when he's allowed to escort him down into the basement. And then on top of that, none of that stuff actually works out. None of that stuff actually helps him, except that he's like, he knows not to try certain things. And so it's just all kind of silly, to watch because he doesn't seem smart. He just seems sort of stupid.
No. And also the entire apparatus of the concert seems weird. Like every single decision that was made here, it was like it was written by a person who's never lived in the real world, like has never attended a concert, has never like bothered asking what a police officer does, has never figured out
how it... You don't leave concerts midway through to do a quick...
Well, yeah, so they're all like, they're all... They get to the concert. Okay, it's all of these like little kids and their parents. Like, great, perfect. That makes sense. There's an opener, whatever. They're like, find their seats. They're sort of milling around. But then during the concert, obviously, because we have to have the plot moving forward, he keeps leaving the venue. And sure, some of them is like, okay, I'm going to run and use the bathroom quick, whatever, while this song is going on. But there's also like various breaks supposedly in the sets where like they're changing the stage, which looks bad and looks cheap. Like there wasn't that much changing that needed to be involved, but also that nobody's leaving the concert in the middle. Like I have gone to the bathroom in the middle of the concert. There's no one around. And this, the hallways are flooded with people. There's more people not watching the concert than are watching the concert, and he keeps bumping into this like neighbor woman over and over again who's also apparently not watching the concert. Like nobody's watching the concert. The also there's like supposedly he goes and they're trying to buy a t-shirt for the daughter, and they say, oh, we're out of that size, but we're gonna get more of that size later, which it's like, from where? And then there's like
that's accurate. I've been made aware of this. So let me share my expertise as requested. I think that's realistic in that Swifties would have to strategize their times to leave to get merch. And if there was a lack of merch, there were often refreshes towards the end of the night, you know, like just so that they could get the second wave of people. Do I think it's as organized as this little dude walking down into the into the pit of the arena and finding a single box on a shelf and picking out a single shirt? No, but I do think that there's room to believe that that's a possibility, that there's more in the back and they have to get it at certain times.
I think that it's possible that there's like more in the back and they have to get it at certain times. I don't think that it's likely that it's stored like in the yeah, like arena's storage unit. You know what I mean? Like it's stored like on a truck or something. Yes. Like they're bringing that in with them. And also, aren't the people who usually work the like merch table people who are connected with the concert? They're not like the, like this made it seem like the merch, like the Lady Raven was doing some sort of like residency, and that she just had all of her stuff all over the venue, and the workers were just like used to working for her. Yeah, everything in this movie just seems slightly off.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, that's like M. Night Shyamalan's like shtick is he can't write dialogue that well.
And so the dialogue was terrible. Yes.
And I think that was most obvious with the interaction with this worker who's like, oh, you're a real classic family guy. Like, you're a real classic family guy. Like, oh, on a night like tonight, you know, this is what's... Like, it was all such stilted sort of over-exposition and justification for why he was doing these things for this strange man and all of that. So it just felt like Uncanny Valley, the way people talked around him, or even the way... Like, there are just so many convenient things. Like, suddenly a dancer is falling, so he's carrying her backstage. And I was like, what's the point of this? Just to, like, get people to like him because he's, like, being a nice guy, and that way he can get more of what he wants? Or is it, like, I was so confused by how many people were fainting in this venue. I was just, like, I thought there was something else happening. Well, he pushed
the
one woman
down the stairs. who was wasted before the show even started.
Yeah.
She was pre-gaming hard. Because so he finds out pretty early that there's this trap, that the woman from the original Parent Trap, who's a British somehow like profiler but has been recruited for the FBI, has set up this trap for him. Yeah. And so he has to try to figure out a way to get out. He's you know, oh, we're going to go to the front. Oh, we're going to go to the back. I'm going to go to the roof. Like, trying these different methods that obviously the police have thought up. Oh, you can't walk out the front door. So he's stuck in there. At one point, they're standing right by a trap door that opens on the arena floor. And he says to his daughter, wouldn't it be fun if we just like went down in this trap door? And the daughter is rightfully like, what? No, we cannot go down there. But he wants to do that. And then we get to this premise that, oh, Lady Raven invites one kid up on stage for the show and they get to go backstage with her. And he's like, oh, maybe this is my out. If I can somehow get my daughter picked, then we'll be able to go out back with the pop star rather than have to go through whatever sort of interrogation they have. So he tells M. Night Shyamalan himself, who is playing the concert attendant / Lady Raven's uncle, that his daughter has leukemia, and so she inevitably gets picked, and that's how we sort of get to the back half of the movie. But I just kept, like, the premise is set up in the trailer, like, very obviously, that he is the killer, that he's going to try to escape. And so I kept waiting the whole time for that to get complicated in some capacity, like, oh, maybe he's not the killer, or I don't know. There's some sort of twist involved. And really, that is all that is happening. And the first half of the movie is just a lot of, like, not even that suspenseful scenes of him sort of trying to escape, but not really. And it's not like high stakes. He's just sort of wandering around and like, oh, there's a cop at that door. Never mind. Oh, there's something at this. Never mind. Like, there's never really even like any pressure on him. I thought that the first half was like lower stakes than it needed to.
Well, he blows up a girl's face.
Well, yes, he does do that.
Roof. And then he has to be like, why am I on this roof? You know, he's thinking on his feet, Matt. He's really, he's ad-libbing his way through these run-ins. He's, you know, he's playing chess, we're playing checkers.
But there's a lot of run-ins and they sort of all are dead ends. And then it's like, okay, well, back to the seat with the daughter. And then he'll have to come up with another reason why he needs to leave the concert, to the point where the daughter is at one point like, why do you keep leaving? This is weird. Which it's like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you for recognizing. Well,
and it's just, it gets to this point where it's like, okay, sir, you have been on camera. Like, even if they don't find you tonight, they will cycle through this film and be like, oh, this guy's acting kind of strange. Like, let's find him. So it's like, in some ways, it feels like game over. He doesn't give up, though. And instead of trying something more, like, logical, he goes for the weirdest swing in getting Lady Raven to help him one more time. Because I honestly, this was the twist I didn't see coming, because you know he has to finagle his way to get onto her car, because that's the only car that's not going to be searched leaving the venue. And so, in, you know, he just turns full creep and is like, I'm going to kill him. I can't even explain this because it made no sense. He's like, look at this man I have trapped. I'm going to murder him unless you help me out. Do you want this man's death on your conscience? And she, instead of being like, holy shit, help me, help me. There's a serial killer in my room. Help me. Is just like, oh yeah, I have to go to a second location with this man. Like, I have to do this. There's no other option. And I admire her for that choice. I really do. I just don't think any human being would actually make that decision.
Well, but here's
why. Because there's no risk to her.
Yeah, well, I guess she didn't want the other person dying because she was a really nice, loving pop star. But the thing is that M. Night Shyamalan is writing this movie for her. She's the pop star.
Yeah.
But then obviously she needs to be able to show off her acting chops as well. So against all odds, she becomes like the main character in the back half of the movie, where it's her single-handedly working to take down the serial killer.
And again, the weirdest ways possible.
Oh, yeah.
Because all she needs to do is separate him from his phone. That's the only thing he has over her, is I'm going to kill this man via phone unless you let me free. And it's not like all she'd have to do is have the many police officers you know, attack him and get his phone out of his hand before he can enter his 7-digit passcode and release the carbon dioxide bomb or whatever. So it's like, I mean, there were just so many options, but instead she gets in the limo with him and his kid and decides, oh, let's go to your house. And she sort of finagles her way into the home to try and play this game of like finally getting his phone and not calling the police. No, she decides to be one of the most beautiful, inspired, selfless stars to ever grace this planet. And she uses her wide reach of fans to figure out where this man is. And I was like, girl, this is a problem to solve another day. Like, you have to let the police know where you are. Like, you have to do this.
We have the footage. I thought he was murdering his family. Looks like. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like she has the footage. We know what she looks like. Presumably, mm-hmm. like, he is there with his daughter, so he can't go, yeah. like, on the run or something. Like, all she needs to do is let him go and then tell the police, and then they get him, like, mm-hmm. 5 seconds later. Mm-hmm. But instead, yeah. she's like, no, I need to catch him myself. And even when she swipes his phone away and locks herself in the bathroom, it's like, well, just drop the phone in the toilet. She's like, exactly. no, I have to go live on Instagram in the slowest manner possible and be like, my fans, have any of you seen a statue of a lion that is broken? It's by a blue door.
Go there now. Break in. There's a man in the basement. And it's just like, it's too much to suspend belief. I'm sorry. Like,
there's no urgency.
I feel like no one would be moving. No one would take it seriously. You know, it'd be like memed within 30 seconds.
It's like within like 3 minutes that they get this guy out. Like, it's so fast. Yeah. Because he breaks in the door of the bathroom, and then by that point, they've already somehow broke into the house and let the man go from the carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah, no, at this point, it becomes this really weird kind of like, I don't know, like the movie starts to drag. The movie starts to drag at this point, because suddenly it's like he's doing, like, he's just all over the place. He's kidnapping her in the car. He wants to drive up with him, but then he sees his family, so he lets her go. But then he's setting up his house for something, but then suddenly he's gone. And then he actually kidnapped her in the car again because she's still sitting at the limo. Again, the police are very stupid in this movie. Like, it's very much.
Then she escapes.
All stoppable. She escapes again.
She escapes again.
because her fans yes. see her. And she's able to communicate her distress. And they're all so understanding. But then he escapes again
to set up a sequel.
And then the wife is just like left at home 20 minutes later. And they're like, this is fine. You'll be fine. And then, of course, he gets into the house. And then he has this showdown with his wife, which was where I was like, I have lost the plot, I'm afraid. Because yes. he takes his shirt off and then proceeds to monologue to her about killing them, like doing a murder-suicide.
Oh, because he realizes that she is the one who set him up somehow, because she left the concert receipt at the warehouse where he was keeping the people.
Yeah. Which, again, I have some follow-up questions for the mother, who was not featured in this movie until the third act, and now suddenly she's the main feature. Why would you send your child to see if your husband is maybe a serial killer? Like, it's just... It doesn't totally make sense to me that you would put your child in harm's way like that, or just in the way of sheer trauma should her father be caught. And I didn't understand it. Like, I can understand being conflicted on like, oh, could my husband actually be capable of this? I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. But why let them set it up to be a concert sing operation instead of maybe just calling the police?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So many questions.
It just seemed like a lot. It seemed like a lot.
I will say that it was a breath of fresh air when the wife did arrive, because she was the only good actor in the entire movie. Like, she was actually like delivering in her scenes what she was supposed to. Josh Hartnett was, God bless his soul. Like, I think as a fine actor, actor, but was not doing well with the M. Night Shyamalan dialogue. The daughter was annoying as hell. The Lady Raven was, I think, like a halfway decent singer, but like not a great actor.
What about
it
when
was
she
just...
pretended to be his mommy? And she was like,
oh, yes, I forgot about that. But where she's trying like psychological warfare. That was basically a scene on a Split.
She's been trained in FBI profiling during this one.
Yes, by Haley Mills, the British FBI woman who really had nothing to do. I was like, you brought this lady out of retirement and this is the role that she's given. You can't even see her face most of the time because they're like only showing her from the back to lead up to some kind of reveal. But then she didn't really have the police lady really had nothing to do with the plot. Like, she's presented as very smart at the beginning, but then she never like really gets involved at all, other than to leave Allison Pill at the house alone waiting for her husband to show up shirtless and kill her.
Why was he shirtless?
I think that maybe it was just like, you know, he's hot. Like, let's have him be shirtless for a scene.
It was like, so weird.
Give
it was
the gays
so
what
unexpected.
They want.
Well, because she was like, it was the cleaning smell on your clothes. And then he stripped. And I was like, oh, okay. So he's like, I was literally like sitting there like half thinking about why he was shirtless. Like, I was like, oh, it's because he doesn't want to bother her with the smell, or it's because he's going to kill her and he doesn't want to have to clean his clothes now that he knows it stinks or something. And I was just like very confused, and it's never explained ever. And as soon as the police come in, the first thing they do is put his shirt back on, which understandable. But yeah, very, very weird.
Yeah, again, I don't think we can be asking logistic questions like that with this movie. You know, it's like nothing really made sense at all.
I loved that it was like, it seemed like, not that we were rooting for this guy, but more that we were meant to be enamored with how he could wiggle his way out. And I frankly just felt like, it said less about how smart he was and more about how dumb every single person around him was. Because even in the end, he's like, let me fix this bike. Oh, no. You know what it is? They freaking tased the guy 27 times.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And I was like, this would be completely different if this was a man of color. Like, please, let's be for real here. It's like he's constantly running at him. He's a known murderer.
Well,
and
yeah,
they just keep
like,
tasing him.
I'm like, were you? This is the one time in America where we're using tasers is when we're doing a sting operation on a known serial killer. Like, what?
Who's escaped like 7 times this
right,
time already?
And it's like, we're sending it's like an 80-year-old woman with a taser to take him out. Like, what?
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And then because he asked nicely, they let him like fix his daughter's bike, thus stealing a little.
Yeah,
I don't
spoke
know.
Spoke off the wheel.
Spoke.
Yeah.
And then he gets to it ends
escape
the
ambulance
escape
or whatever.
Again.
Yeah.
Very strange, very odd. And I didn't know what they wanted with this whole like father angle, because it seemed to imply like, you know, he's both good and bad. Like that's what his mother would say to him growing up. And that's what he wanted to hear. From
oh,
his
yes.
Mommy.
His mother that he keeps seeing in like visions, like, but only like 3 times.
Yeah,
not a real like plot point.
Never really worked out, because when Lady Raven tries to play mommy, he doesn't fall for it. But when the old lady does, he becomes like basically, you know, he goes into a fugue state and they until they tase him. So yeah, I was just kind of it felt half drawn as a character, which you don't go into an M. Night Shyamalan movie expecting full character, you know, growth and whatever. But it was still distractingly relevant without being really fleshed out in any interesting way.
And there were just 400 endings. Like, I kept thinking, oh, well, this is the ending. Yeah. And it just kept, and another one, and another one, and another one. And none of them were really twists either. Like, I was sitting there watching it, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe the daughter is the serial killer. Maybe the wife is somehow the serial killer. Maybe, you know, the concert is a dream. You know, like trying to come up with what a logical twist might be. But it's like, no, there's not really any twist. You know he's the serial killer the whole time. He just sort of like escapes 10 times where you think he's caught and he's not.
Yeah, and I would admire that if it was like, oh, he's trying to give up twists. Like, good for him, he's just making a thriller. But it doesn't read like a thriller because it does have these sort of half-hearted twist moments with, like, the wife being the one to turn him in and whatnot. Whereas, yeah, I was expecting it to be that she was the real mastermind and he was going to be like, you can't make me take the fall for this. I'm taking you with me. But it was just like, yeah, it was all like anticipation for something that never actually happened. It was pretty much, yeah, exactly what you went into thinking it would be.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, clearly this was a movie built around the daughter and for the daughter. It was a project that was created for the daughter. But even still, I thought that we were going to get something that was a little bit more
his energy. Remember how she has asthma?
Oh, yes. That happened. That shows up very briefly. And I thought that might have been a plot point, but then it wasn't really. Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, an asthma attack is bound to happen. Or he's going to kill her with asthma. I don't know. It was just so. And then there was that, like, other musician who shows up briefly and is a big diva.
Oh yeah, and like winks at Josh Hartnett. Yeah, like, hey,
is that a
like
famous one person?
It's Kid Cudi, but which I do think is funny, but that plot line. Yeah, well, I mean, not really, but
or no, it's not. It's not like, oh, Lady Raven got her to start with Kid Cudi.
No,
it's
just no, because Kid Cudi's not weird. Gay in real life, I don't think.
Well, yeah, I didn't know what was happening there. I was like,
no, but it was confusing. Cameo? And then I kept thinking that was gonna play in somehow, and he never shows back up again.
Yeah, no. And Lady Raven is very involved with the sting operation, which I think it would have been more funny. Like, it seemed like they wanted to give her a serious role, and I get that, so you can't rewrite it. But I think it would have been more funny if it was more realistic, and she was just clueless and was like, what do you mean you're making my concert about someone else? Like, I think celebrity is a very fun thing to play with and sort of the ego involved. But instead, they made her this really saintly, selfless person who was so concerned with this stranger she saw on a webcam that she would just risk everything for it. Him.
Yes.
And it just kind of, like, took the wind out of the suspense because I didn't trust her enough to be like super clever and like have this game of cat and mouse, but I knew she'd be okay because it's like, she's so good. They can't just kill her off for that. You know,
who the one person who I liked in this was? The sort of like stagehand manager woman.
Oh.
Who like kept coming up and explaining what was going on with the concert and who was going to be doing it. I was like, okay, this is realistic. And
she's
this woman,
yes,
like knows what's going on. She's delivering this exposition exactly how she needs to.
Yeah.
I thought, get this woman
like, just have
a bigger role.
Like,
right.
You'll be scared, but once you're out there, you won't be. It was very reassuring. I was like, that's beautiful.
Because
I actually did love the neighbor with the mean daughters trying to pretend like she's like, oh yeah, girls, they'll work it out, and he's like, your kids are bitches to mine, like they're never gonna work it out. And then when she gets selected, I thought that was a funny bit. I liked that sort of the neighbor who's being like, you don't know how mean I can be vicious, and she's saying this to a serial killer, like, I appreciate that sort of tongue-in-cheek humor, but few and far between.
Yeah. I also thought
cops
it was
were just so bad.
The cops were terrible. I also thought it was weird that the Lady Raven brings the daughter up on stage for basically an entire song.
Oh yeah.
And then sort of expects the daughter to know/perform the choreography with her. It's like, I thought this is a lot of like weight to be putting on this child.
Yeah, I was just thinking of, like, even in the moment, if everyone in that room thought she was cool, that video lives online forever. And I just know that that's like the beginning of 8th grade part 2, you know, like,
right.
that will haunt her, especially now that it will be the video of the daughter whose dad is a serial killer. It was long. It was a lot. It was a lot. And it wasn't necessarily, it didn't make total sense, you know, because obviously like people have done that, like Justin Bieber and One Direction or whatever have brought fans on stage for a bit.
But it's usually like they're like singing to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like exactly. It's like they have limited involvement.
Yeah.
They're not asked to like perform things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, have you listened to her music? Some people like it. Some people walked out and were like, you know what? At least it was good music.
It was all kind of like ambient noise to me. I feel like there weren't moments in the show when I thought, oh, like this is a song that I want to listen to later. I couldn't really differentiate any of the songs from one another. And she's kind of like, her voice is sort of, I don't know, like it's very like dreamy kind of in a way that you can't tell exactly what she's saying. So I don't know that I could distinguish the different songs from one another when they were even happening. You know what I mean?
The only successful fake concert music I've heard is Church by J-Lo.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Which I still revisit. So.
Same. And I also do listen to the Vox Lux music every now and again.
Oh, yeah.
But
there's other ones, right? What else is there?
Other like fake pop stars? Well, Hannah Montana. Yeah.
Oh, The Idea of You. People really like that One Direction.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I feel like there's other... The band from... what was the... Turning Red? That was a...
Four Town.
Yes, yeah. That was a successful one. Yeah, I feel like having fake pop stars in movies is fun. Like, I like that gimmick.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like they should have... It seems like he had a blind spot with his daughter's role, because to me, the logical moments of fun would have been like, what do you mean you're going to take him in your van? Like, we've never done this before. Like, why would you get in the limo with him? Like, I feel like her team should have been tripping over themselves, or even having like an assistant who's like not really understanding the tension.
Yeah.
Could have been fun. Like, but it just felt so earnest in a way that was kind of awkward. And then, on top of it, just having him be this dad and having his kids all around in the second half, it was sort of like, what is his line and like why? Because I assumed he was killing his family when she was in the bathroom or like hitting them or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
He didn't.
He just like, so what, like lets them go?
Oh, he's still
whatever.
A dad. But then it's also like he just was pretending to fix the bike so that he could get the spoke, so it wasn't like a self, you know, like it was just kind of weird. Right. I was waiting for the explanation of like,
and the only like the guy who works at the concert at the merch table is like sort of funny, but in a way that's just because his dialogue is so bad that it's sort of entertaining when he's delivering it. I feel like the only actual funny performance is again the mom, and that's mostly funny just in that she is so like shocked that there is the pop star just like showing up at the house, and she again is confused as to why this is happening. So I think that it works well in that regard, but he's not very good at writing humor. Like, I think that humor is mostly just in the performance. It's less in like the dialogue. So I'm not sure he could have written a good, like sort of bitchy assistant.
He tries. I mean, he has the neighbor, even in things like Signs, he like knows that he has to lean in the camp and the humor in most of his movies. There's like a lot of it, but he hasn't like mastered the dialogue part of it, which obviously is a tough one when it's comedy. But I'm curious about like his intention, because he's unflappable, right? Like, he just keeps churning these out. He's happy to play his games. Like, he has enough money to play around with these bonkers ideas, even if they fall apart in the second act. And I find that so fascinating. I'm just like, does he want success? Like, is he waiting for people to appreciate him, or has he accepted that this is where he's at? Like, is it like just fun for him to work with his daughter, or is he like really trying, you know, to do his best work?
I mean, I think that knock at the cabin seemed like a very earnest like attempt at a movie. I don't know what exactly was going on with Old, but like, because the thing is, he was very successful early on in his career because he had, and like, let me pull up his filmography, because he had The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, The Village, which I think are all like, you know, good to a certain degree and did well in the theaters. And then you get the slog that's like Lady in the Water and The Happening and Avatar The Last Airbender and the After Earth movie, which are all heinous. And so, but I think he had like a bit of a renaissance with Split, because that obviously did really well and I think is like a suspenseful movie. And then that did so well that we had Glass, which was, you know, the sequel. And I think, again, like, was not a terrible movie. Perfectly serviceable. And then obviously Old was a, like, just a completely psychotic venture off into, you know, madness. But I think like coming off of Split and Glass is like, was okay, like, I am a serious filmmaker, and Knock at the Cabin feels like a very serious movie, and where he's like trying to talk about morals and things. So I think that yes, there's a part of this that he made for his daughter, but I don't think that he thought that it was a bad movie or was like, oh, right, let's just like be jokey.
Yeah, no, I need an FBI profiler to explain the psychology of M. Night Shyamalan. So I just find it very fascinating.
We'll get Haley Mills on the line. Yeah. A man like this will be
love.
I mean, his mother probably
said something. Casting Josh Hartnett was an interesting choice because this man is the tallest man in the room. And not one time did a cop in that arena say, I think that might fit I think that might be the guy we're looking for.
Has he been
towering over everyone?
Has Josh Hartnett been in something else that M. Night Shyamalan has worked on at some point? I'm like, how did he get this role?
I think it was coming off of Oppenheimer. Everyone was like, oh, the renaissance of Josh Hartnett. And then,
I guess so.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly,
because he's so bad in this.
Yeah,
he's so bad.
Well, some people like him because he's like, he's off kilter a little. Like, there's something a little off. But it starts to feel, it's, I don't know. It was like, is this intentional in that he's making a statement that these evil guys are never as like smooth and sexy as people want them to be, and they're actually kind of like off a little bit? But I don't know if I can give that much credit to the attention to detail to the casting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some actors who are strong enough that they can like make bad dialogue, you know, halfway good. I think that Josh Hartnett is just not that good at acting. Yeah. And so if he's given a bunch of bad dialogue, I don't know his ability level to sort of work that into something useful.
Yeah. And there were a lot of emotions he had to play with. Like, he had to play with the perfect dad and this like evilness, but then also this worry, but then also this smugness, but then also breaking down when he sees his family blocking his car in the driveway. I don't know, man. I had questions.
Like, if they had gotten someone more like Sam Rockwell, I guess, to do this, like, I think that he might have been able to work all of that better. But I just, I'm not sure that Josh Hartnett was the ideal choice. This is clearly set up for a sequel. Do you think we're going to get a sequel?
I mean, I think he can finance anything he wants.
Right, but do you think that he will? Yes.
I think he would, and I don't think this movie has done terribly, right? Like, relatively speaking to expectations.
Lady Raven come into it, though? That's the
Lady Raven will be his target. He will be determined to destroy her. Oh,
to kill her. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And then it will be, she will be stuck in a abandoned warehouse, and it will become a Split crossover event again. And then it will tie into the Village.
But everyone from Split sort of died, didn't they, at the end?
Oh, did he? I don't remember. Were they tased or were they killed? Did the cops open fire? Or?
Well, I think Bruce Willis ends up in an electrocuted swimming pool, if I'm remembering correctly. Okay. And I feel like...
But the other ones escape, don't they? And then everyone starts to realize they have powers or something.
I think that's the... In Glass, I think they all die outside that, like... building, like, oh, they're all in the parking lot.
People's
powers
to be awoken,
because I think I think that James McAvoy gets shot and then Samuel Jackson's like just a pile of bones or whatever, and I want to say that that Bruce Willis gets is like electrocuted in a pool.
Oh my goodness,
because like water is a power or something, I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, okay, do we have anything else to say on this movie? This horrible, horrible movie?
So much. I mean, no, I liked it more than Old and The Visit. And
I thought The Visit was better than this. I still had more
fun with Glass. You think what was?
I said, I think The Visit was better than this. The Visit was like intentionally much more classic campy. Horror.
Yeah. Yeah, classic scary.
When they're like, that's not my mom or whatever. It's like, that's funny. That's good.
Get out of the house.
That's not your grandparents. Your parents, yes.
I think his next project should be some sort of support group for the trauma these families have been through, and they can all come together and realize their connection. Because I don't know who's more damaged. Well, I think the village woman is the most damaged. I think that's really messed up what her family did to her. So
no, I think the thing with the village is the next movie should be a sequel to The Village that's sort of like a Kimmy Schmidt-esque movie about the people from the village like going into the real world, you know?
And it's Lady Raven takes her under her wing because she's so selfless.
Right, exactly. Perfect. Maybe Lady Raven is a descendant of the villagers. Like, that feels appropriate.
Oh, I'm sure they
Lady Raven could also see dead people. I'd believe that.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's what she's singing about for sure.
It takes the breath out of her. And that's why she has asthma.
And I said, "You are not responsible for the hurt you gave to me. I release you."
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about that part. Which was deranged.
I was like, I disagree, but okay.
I'm like, I don't think, like, M. Night Shyamalan's, like, view of spirituality, there's an essay in here somewhere, is, like, very wonky, and I feel like not appropriate.
Yeah. Parents can do anything it takes to protect their child. That's basically what I'm getting. Well, because
Knock at the Cabin was also so spiritual, mm-hmm, and was also really bad. Mm-hmm. Hated that
the
movie.
The village was basically a trad wife. Catnip.
Lady Ballerina or whatever it was in the village.
Ballerina Farmer.
The Happening did have that one good scene where everybody was falling off the roof. I appreciated that, but
I didn't see that one, so I can't speak to it.
Oh, well, you have... That's your... Honestly, I'm sort of shocked that you haven't seen The Happening, Shelby.
It was like... it was rated R when I wasn't watching R movies, you know.
Right, but it's a disaster movie.
I know, but it's like just a bunch of gross suicides, and then it's like the plants are killing us. I don't know.
The plants are killing us.
I don't need to.
Well,
I don't need to sit through it. Okay. And it's Mark Wahlberg, so that's another.
Oh yeah,
it's another
I know.
Knock. So.
Who's the woman in that? There's a.
I don't know.
Oh, Zooey Deschanel, not Zooey Deschanel. Yikes. That's a cursed combination. Okay. Well, this has been lovely. I have no idea what's coming out next week for us to discuss, but we will be back with another episode. Thank you all for listening. Go see Trap or don't go see Trap.
Listen to Lady Raven.
Listen to Lady Raven. Salika, our favorite new pop star. It's Brat Summer is over. Salika Summer is just beginning.
Salika's opening for Taylor Swift's next leg. Yeah.
No. So. honestly, she had J.J. Abrams' daughter. She might as well get M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
Yeah, it's the Nepo
Francesca
baby.
Francesca Scorsese can do a bit. I'm ready for all the peeps. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.